Hello, friends, and welcome to Everyday Truth with Kurt Skelly. We're here to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're studying the book of Romans and learning how the power of the gospel impacts every part of our lives. Now, let's join Kurt for today's episode.
Hey, friends, welcome back. Appreciate you joining us today for our Everyday Truth daily episode. Have a postcard today from Kansas. Beautiful sunflowers there in Kansas. And I'll tell you what else is beautiful about this postcard, the handwriting. So let me see, Carly Wingerson. Carly, we met at camp a summer or two ago, and you have amazing handwriting. Wow. I mean, it's great. And you're a great encouragement too. Thanks for all the kind things you said about the podcast. And appreciate you sending the postcard, taking that time and listening every day. That does mean a lot to me. We are in Romans 13 today in our Bibles. And yesterday, I got to thinking about this at the end of the podcast yesterday. What a depressing episode. We talked about paying taxes, and I didn't even give you a good reason not to pay taxes. We have to pay tribute to whom tribute is due, and we have to give honor to whom honor is due, and we should be great examples of what it means to be a good citizen in the country in which we live. But watch how the Apostle Paul takes that obligation of paying taxes and paying our debts and not allowing some huge tax bill to build up or be in massive debt to somebody. You know, be honest, live honestly, pay our debts. Watch how he takes that and moves into a more general statement and then a great spiritual application. So Romans chapter 13 and verse number 8, where he says, "Owe no man anything." So in the context of government, pay your taxes. You shouldn't have this huge tax bill that you haven't paid. And in the context of our interpersonal dealings, it's not a wise thing to have debt. And I know that there's various opinions about what level of debt is acceptable and should I have debt on depreciable assets. We try not as a family ever to have a debt on something that's depreciable because we feel like that's not wise. So I've tried never to have a car payment. I've tried not to have credit card debt, but we do have a debt on our home. But I think the idea there is we have more equity than we have debt. So therefore it's an appreciable asset. We're not going to lose on it. So, I mean, there's a whole different discussion. If you want to learn a little bit more about the proper use of money, listen to my son's podcast, Financial Pathway. You'll love that podcast, and he just hits it hard, and you'll really, really love that. But the Bible says explicitly in verse number 8, owe no man anything but, oh, so there is something that we owe our fellow man. And it's not a dollar, but it's something far more important. So Paul uses the whole idea of taxes and debts to talk about a spiritual obligation that you and I have to each other. And Paul was not afraid to speak in the language of obligation. For instance, at the beginning of this book, the Apostle Paul said, "I am debtor." Remember that? "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." So I have a debt to pay when it comes to giving people the gospel. So he did use this illustration of indebtedness to relate to the fact that we owe it to our unsaved friends and neighbors and loved ones and coworkers to give them the gospel. And we owe it to our fellow man to express the love of Christ to them. So owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. What a statement. He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And then he explains it. Verse number 9. For this, And then he lists some of the commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. So what does he do there? He lists the commandments that all deal with, of the Ten Commandments, that all deal with our relationship with our fellow man. So these are commandments that deal with the way we treat other people. And remember what Paul just said is that when we love other people, we are fulfilling the law of God. So all those things, thou shalt not covet, if there be any other commandment, so we'll put them all into the same basket, it is briefly comprehended. So we can have a general understanding of the law of God as it pertains to our relationship with other people. We can generally understand it in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What a statement. So here is one statement that covers a huge body of information, the law. I've often worked people through this logic and see if you can follow it with me right now. So somebody came to Jesus one day, Matthew chapter 22, you can find this. And they asked Jesus, "Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said, you know the answer, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength." And Jesus said, the second, even though the man didn't ask what's the second, Jesus gave it. "And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two," number one, love God. Number two, love your neighbor. "On these two hang all the law and the prophets." So that makes sense to me. Somebody comes to Jesus, "Give us the greatest law." Love God. That makes sense to me. Number two, love your neighbor. And that makes sense too. So Jesus said, you do these two, you have in essence fulfilled the law. But wait a minute. Paul in Romans chapter 13 says nothing about loving God. He says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." Well, I thought that Jesus said fulfilling the law was loving God, number one, and then loving your neighbor, number two. And yet Paul seems to skip the God part. Okay, what about Galatians chapter 5? Let me read you that passage too. Paul is also, as you know, the author of the book of Galatians. And Galatians chapter 5, he says in verse number 13, "Brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Here's why. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Well, wait a minute. Jesus said, love God, number one, love your neighbor, number two. But Paul said in Romans 13, love your neighbor. That does it. That fulfills it. He says again in Galatians 5, love your neighbor. That fulfills the law. Says nothing about loving God. Okay, what about the book of James? Remember, James is the pastor at the church at Jerusalem. He is the physical brother of Jesus, a son of Joseph and Mary, and a godly man, a writer of scripture. And James said in James chapter 2, "If ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well." So what did James say? James says the royal law, we would say today, the number one law is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But wait, how does that jive with what Jesus said? Because the man said to Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, number one, love God. Number two, love your neighbor. And yet Paul said, You can encapsulate it all in love your neighbor. He said it again in Galatians 5. James said it again in James chapter 2. So do we have a contradiction? Is this Jesus on one team and Paul and James on the other team? Because if that's the case, I'm voting for Jesus, right? And of course, I speak tongue in cheek because the Bible doesn't contradict itself. So how do these seemingly disparate answers congeal? How do they reconcile? Okay, remember somebody else came to Jesus. This is in Luke chapter 10. And they said to him, "Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, what do you think? And the man said, "I think you ought to love God and love your neighbor." So he gave the same answer Jesus gave. And Jesus said, "Okay, you do that." In other words, if you could really love God perfectly and love your neighbor perfectly, you would be perfect. You would be fulfilling the law. So Jesus said, "You do that and you'll live. That is work salvation. Go ahead, try that." And the man knew intuitively he could not. So the man said, "Who is my neighbor?" He didn't say who is God, because everybody thinks that he loves God. And how do you really measure that? No, what he knew was, I can't love everybody. So tell me the people I have to love. And of course, there we get the story of the Good Samaritan. So how did these two seemingly disparate answers reconcile? Okay, here it is. Remember when Jesus said, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Thank you for visiting me when I was in prison. Thank you for feeding me when I was hungry. Thank you for giving me water when I was thirsty. Thank you for clothing me when I was naked." Remember? Then they'll say unto him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or naked or thirsty or in prison?" And Jesus said, "No, when you did it unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." So there's the answer. The answer is, yes, we love God first. And yes, we love our neighbor second. But we fulfill both of them by loving our neighbor. Why? Because loving your neighbor is how you love God. When you do it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So loving your neighbor is the apparatus. It's the means by which you love God. If a man say, "I love God," and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. So today, you've got a debt, and so do I. You owe that person something that's right there next to you. You owe that person something that you're about to see here in a few minutes. And what you owe them is to love them. And by loving them with the love of God, you're not just loving them, but you're loving God who told you to love them. And that, my friends, is an awesome, awesome thought. So I hope you'll strive to keep that in perspective today. I will try as well. And it's hard when you're driving in I-95 traffic, but I'm going to try. And let's ask for God to help us to be great examples of his love toward each other and toward a lost and dying world. Hope that helps today. We'll jump back into verse number, let's see. Well, I should have finished with verse 10. Matter of fact, let's just read it right now. "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." That really just encapsulates everything I just said, doesn't it? Love is the fulfilling of the law. So hope that helps. Have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If you enjoy Everyday Truth, take a moment to subscribe or share the podcast with a friend. Until next time, God bless.